Welcome to the Catches You podcast. I'm your host, Jack Ferrick. Today's guest is one of my good friends, Travis Turgeon. Travis has been a college coach and is currently a coach with the Howitch Mariners in the Cape Cod League. Travis, how are we doing today?
Good, Jack. Jack forgot to mention I also lived with him in his basement for one summer.
It's a good point. It's a good point. He was a tenant in the Ferrick household for about 6 to 8 month period. So obviously we've known each other a really long time. Wanted to get you on here and talk some, just talk some baseball, but biggest thing, you know, kind of talk about the Cape Cod League and you know, you're now up in the northern area. You're up in, outside of Philly and kind of talk about, you know, recruiting, and even though it's the ultimate red shirt year was 2-3 seasons ago, the impact that you're still seeing it have on players, and then with the transfer portal and everything, I can only imagine in the Cape there was a ton of kids that were maybe in the portal switching schools, stuff that might not have been the case you know, 5-6 years ago, that now it's starting to see a lot of movement in the college game that maybe we didn't see before.
Yeah. Thanks, Jack. I think I have a pretty unique perspective because I'm at the high school level while simultaneously in the Cape League. So in the high school level, what I see a lot is just, it's just really clogged and slow moving. There's like a glut of people at the college level. And on the flip side of that, I mean, I had a kid that was 25 years old in the Cape, which he might be older than some of his assistant coaches.
Right.
So if you're an 18-year-old freshman, you know, you might not be a finished product and you're competing against 25-year-old, 24-year-old grown men. And the flip side is college baseball has always been underfunded. So you have huge rosters, you know, that are really strained because of the financial aspect. College baseball isn't a full scholarship sport like football, where you have the backup punter on a scholarship.
Right.
So you have a financial strain on the kids as well. And it's tough for a high school kid to really get placed right now. I think in about 2 years, maybe with the 2024s, it might finally clear up. But you have some really good kids who are just looking for homes, ending up junior college, Division III, Division II. They might not necessarily have ended up there if it was 5 years ago.
Yeah, no. And I think the other thing that I've noticed too, is there's been a lot of movement within, once you got to college, that maybe wasn't the case in the past. You know, you have guys that have had success and maybe went to a mid-major, go on to play in a Power Five instead of just finishing out their career at, you know, that mid-major school. You know, they'll hit this transfer portal and then go, you know, and I think some of the impact with that too might be the draft, you know, only being 20 rounds, the 1 year going 5 and then 20. I know has impacted a couple programs I know, where guys that usually would have gotten picked up in that, you know, 25 to 35 range, now those guys are there. And like you said, the financial strain that's going on with a lot of these colleges, they can't carry that, I don't know, that 70% guy, you know, or 80% scholarship guy any further, because they've already committed money to that incoming class, when they usually, that guy has kind of either graduated or, you know, been able to get drafted.
Yeah. And you saw a lot of sad faces in the Cape this summer after the draft, because again, it's more players than ever. You had a truncated draft last year. You know, and a lot of guys that normally would have gone, especially position guys, didn't. And then they're kind of without a home. They might do JUCO. And then the flip side, you have D3, pretty good D3 guys that are transferring up to Power Fives.
Right.
Rice's middle infield last year was a D3 second baseman and a Power Five shortstop. You know, and what year does that happen? That's just such a unique situation.
Right. Well, yeah, no. And I think, well, one thing I wanted to ask you about was, what was it like coaching in the Cape before the draft? That had to be something that, you know, the draft after what, midway through your guys' season? So Like that had to be completely different. Normally the Cape, you know, everyone's already been drafted. Guys go to the Cape, they know what they're going to do. Or, you know, how was that, guys that thought they were going to get drafted? You know, guys, you guys were managing, how was the scrutiny, maybe, I guess, from the scouts, you know, like how was that whole process, you know, with them actually playing in the Cape, getting evaluated before, you know, the draft happening?
Yeah, it's definitely a different timing than the Cape. There's no temporary contracts. You used to have the temporary guys come up until the roster is filled, but the new temporary guys are the draft guys that, you know, it'll be a top 10 rounder. They're going to come in and throw, and then you're scrambling for arms. You know, one team lost, you know, 8 pitchers the second day of the draft, and we're scrambling. And again, just like everything's out of whack, and there's so many summer leagues like the Ripken, the Valley, Northwoods, you're scrambling to get players. And, you know, maybe 10 years ago, you could have found a kid. That kid might already be placed in the futures or any CPL.
Right.
So it's tougher to find a kid in the middle of the year. So it's definitely, it was the first year of this. So I think teams will adjust accordingly. Guys might sit out and wait for the draft and then join the Cape midway through, especially arms. But yeah, there's more college leagues than ever as well. And, you know, some of them are just there to monetize and make money. You know, back in the old days, it was the Alaskan League and the Cape, right, and that was it. And then the Valley was pretty good. And there's so many, counting the Cape, there's 3 leagues in New England, which is crazy to think.
Yeah, it's so much. Yeah, no, I mean, it's just now it's, you know, the days of your guys not playing summer baseball at the collegiate level is just unheard of. You know, it's something that you can't miss out on those 30, 40 games for your guys' development, especially those guys that aren't getting on the field. But yeah, kind of wanted to, you know, piggyback on or double down on the you know, the recruiting from a high school. I've told our guys, you know, in this 22 class, you know, the 21 class was, you know, that was a dogfight, you know, to get guys places and stuff. And then the 22 class, you know, right now, I try to tell our guys all the time, you either get signed before, but then you need fall ball. And the biggest reason why you need fall ball for this 22 class is coaches need to realize they need time to evaluate their guys and realize there may be a body on the roster, but he may not be what they thought they were, and their needs may shift after being able to evaluate their team. So like, I try to tell our guys that, like, patience and then opportunity. Like, if you really want to play college baseball right now, you have to take the opportunities that are presented, and obviously you don't want to just commit somewhere that you don't want to go. You know, I don't, you know, advise that, but at the same time, you have to take advantage of the opportunities that are presented. And I don't think, like, right now, I think college baseball, I think it's that, like, if you have an opportunity to play college baseball, it's college baseball. I don't really think the divisions right now matter. I've never been, you know, this, like, I've never been a guy that's been like, oh, well, if it's not D1, it's not worth your time. Or, you know, I've always thought, you know, when you were at Washington, you know, the D3 program, but then like Westchester, which is an absolute powerhouse of a program, you know, the D2 level, like, kids, I think now, and parents now have to understand, like, you have an opportunity to play this game, like, and that's what you want. Like, you need to go take that opportunity. Whereas, you know, I think sometimes you see how much kids really want to play the game, depending on if the D1 or bust mentality, I think, to me, is starting to go away a little bit from the kids that really want to play ball. And it might be more of an excuse for some kids who maybe like baseball, but aren't willing to kind of put in, I don't know, the sacrifice, you know what I mean? Or take the gamble on themselves.
No, I think you hit the nail on the head. Is more than ever, it's, you know, you have to, if you want to play college baseball, and you have to make a sacrifice for it. It's, you know, it might not be the ideal situation. I played D1 and D3 and coached all 3 levels. So, you know, me and you know that there's not a huge difference between the lower D1, the good D3, but the average kid doesn't. And, you know, like you said, it's, you're going to take an offer and it might not be ideal. But that's just how things are now. And you have kids reclassifying in high school, which is crazy, like redshirting,
right,
to try to get a better opportunity. Cause you know, whatever's in front of them, they don't want. So, you know, it's a weird time.
Well, and like you said, I think a lot of these college, like these college programs, like the kid, he was a kid from our area. He was a kid that played in our organization, who was with UVA. I think the closer, he's like 26, 27. Like he was really old. And, you know, I think because of his age, you know, he didn't have an opportunity to play, you know, pro ball. But why wouldn't you take that opportunity? He had some medical stuff and everything to extend the COVID, you know, beyond this COVID year. Right. But like as a college program, why wouldn't you take that guy? You know, it's like, you know, and that's the thing that's like, it's always funny to me. It's like, why wouldn't I take a guy that has hit, you know, 310 in college baseball over a guy, like you said, has played some showcase ball and high school baseball, and that's it, you know, and is 4 years older and more physically mature, you know? And I think that's why the mid-majors, like what I loved the most this year about the college baseball game was all these like 40 win teams, you know, 35, 40 win mid-major type teams, you know, cause they were older. You know, they were bigger, they were stronger, and they could compete a little bit. Obviously, hey, look, the Power Five depth and that's where those things happen. But you know, to have programs that just look that, you know, like you look at Wright State, like the way those are manimals, you know, they had in the box, you know, those aren't 18, 19 year old high school guys that maybe those programs would have had to play in the past, you know, because they didn't have the depth, you know? And like, I think that's the thing that clog and, you know, the reclassifying thing, it's almost, from what I've seen is, you know, a lot of these kids that are reclassifying, it's almost so that they can play as freshmen so that they can physically compete. Like, The day of the kid going, oh man, I like that guy. He's good, man. He, you know, we got to put 15, 20 pounds of him, you know, in the weight room, like with how guys are developing their bodies and everything like that. I just think it's something that it's almost that isn't on the program anymore. You know, like I don't think college programs go, we got to put 15, 20 pounds when they look to the left and they see a guy that's pretty similar that's already got that 15 to 20 pounds.
Yeah. And it's, unless you're a finished product, like sophomore in high school, now you're not a Power Five guy. There's no room for the late bloomer anymore because all their money's given out.
Right.
I mean, in Texas, I had a kid, Logan Henderson, who was on JV as a sophomore. Our number three is a junior, and 2 years down the road was JUCO pitcher and fourth round draft pick. He had to go to JUCO because, you know, there was no spots for him in Power Five. It was clearly a Power Five quality arm, but, you know, unless you, like you said, there's no projectability. Unless you're a finished product, you know, you're not going Power Five at high school.
And
stacking the mid majors.
Right, and it's increasing the level of the game. Right now, it's, you have like those midweek games. They're not blowouts like they used to be, you know, like they're not, you know, you don't see, I mean, it's baseball. So sometimes it happens, but you're not seeing like, you know, big school plays mid-major, big school wins by 25, you know, in the midweek, like you're seeing tight ball games. Perfect example. And obviously I pay attention a lot more, you know, in Virginia, you know, VCU. Like they played Virginia Tech and UVA during the week and they were battles. And I think they beat UVA two times. UVA ends up going to Omaha, you know, like it just shows you the level of like, of baseball. And obviously VCU had a heck of a season too. They ended up getting knocked out at what, Mississippi State. But like those are the things though, that's like, you're starting to see that. And I agree with you. And it's like, what I've seen, and obviously I focus a lot on the catching position, which I think is really, really hard for recruitment because there's just so few.
There's a shortage of catchers. I was just talking to a coach the other day. There is a shortage right now.
Yeah. And it's because there's so few of guys that they can take on their roster. I think you're always kind of like, you're not going to load up and have seven catchers on a roster, you know? So like, even during this time, it's like, you've had these guys that have kind of clumped in and it's like, okay, we need to bring in a new guy or we need to do that. So for me, like it's like, I've seen some stuff happen, like you said, like sophomore, maybe junior fall. But there's no, like you said, that there's no more, okay, this guy just came out of nowhere, someone's going to take a shot. Like, you still have those programs, obviously, that will do what they can, but those are the guys, if they do go to a bigger school, it's going to be, you know, a fall tryout, or it's going to be a roster spot, you know, and that's it. All right. So, but yeah, man, like I said, you and me, we could talk about this stuff, you know, all day, and it's a lot of fun. But if there was, I guess, two things that you could talk to, or you could tell the people watching this podcast, you know, parents or prospects, what are the two biggest things that you would say, you know, the most important right now when it comes to that, you know, that recruiting, and this could even be to that guy that's at a college program that, you know, is thinking about hitting the transfer portal. What are two big things that you think everyone should think about or know?
Yeah, I mean, just to go off your points, I think they're great. Is the first one is be patient. You know, you have to be super patient right now because they're going through their clogged rosters. They might have 75 guys on the field, you know, and just be patient. If you want to play college baseball, don't feel like you need to commit right away. And that's just, I'm dealing with that at Great Valley High School with some of my guys, is just being patient. The second is just taking the opportunity in front of you. You know, two points you made, Jack, but I think they're valid, is, you know, if someone wants you, that's tough to find right now. Right. Instead of trying to force it, and go to a school that maybe they're like up on the fence. You know, if someone wants you, it might not be ideal, you know, if the finances and the major and all that check out, but just take that opportunity that's in front of you, and just be thankful you have that, because not many guys might have that opportunity right now.
No, I think, I mean, like I said, you and me, there's a reason why we've been friends for so long. You know, we think very similar, and I agree. It's just, you know, the opportunities that are presented aren't as much, you know, and the creativity or the flexibility of those opportunities are very limited. So I think, you know, that's the biggest thing, is it's, you know, the only time I say this all the time to our guys, is the only time D1, D2, D3 junior college usually matters is your Twitter post. Like, that's the only time on social media, you know, where it matters to you, you know.
Yeah. But, I mean, we had the Cape pitcher of the year, and he was a mid-major guy from Monmouth.
Yeah.
His parent, you know, his mom worked there. He went to school for free. And,
well, yeah. You know, and
it worked out for him.
You get to our age, you know, and, you know, you COVID protocols, you stay safe, but, you know, you go to you go to a bar or something like that. It's amazing how many guys ended up playing college ball, and you never go, oh, what level were you? You know, there's not three different meeting rooms for the D1 athletes, D2 and D3 and, you know, junior college or NAIA guys. You know, it's a fraternity, you know, that you can make. So, you know, once you're a part of, you're a part of it. So, but I know you got to go mold some young minds this morning. I appreciate you spending time with us today, Trav. And like I said, is there anything else that you want to kind of, you know, leave our listeners with?
No, I appreciate the time, Jack, and have a great rest of your day.
All right. That was Travis Turgeon. And you heard it here on the Catchers U podcast. You guys have a great day.